It is sad that the elites in our society are the ones driving hate speech, which has resulted in loss of lives. He spoke more to me earlier.
The concern is we have been involved in tracking hate speeches in the social media and in various community writings. And these writings are related to environment. And I can give you three case studies. We've been following communication among sons and daughters of their community after the incident that happened in there. And the incident also happened between Ngok, Denka and Twitch. And the recent incident in Magwe between the farmers and the pastoralists from Jumbule State. So if you look at the communication that comes from leaders of those conflicting communities, the language of hate is so much used in their official communication, either on the behalf of community leaders, that's one thing. But also if you go to the social media, the elites of those communities have been using a lot of hate speech to the level that now hate speech and hostile propaganda is taking dominance in terms of sharpening cultural violence, and we are losing tolerance as far now as the hate speech is on rise and hostile propaganda is on rise. We are losing the culture of tolerance. So for me, that's the concern that I have raised. And of course, if you look at our laws, hate speech and hostile propaganda is a crime. It's been criminalized. But I feel people now use hate speech and hostile propaganda to mobilize communities to revenge. So that is the concern I have, and I think that we are losing our social fabric that we have lost since 2013 due to the national political crisis. Now we're losing social fabric due to communal violence that even the states have no capacity to mitigate. And we are now really falling down into a section of tribes rather than really operating as a state. And that's why I feel it's a high time for us to address the concerns around hate speech and hostile propaganda that
right.
is on rise due to the communal violence that was witnessed. With the case study, as I mentioned, for three incidents, rear incident, ABA administrative area incident, and then the Magwe incident.
Right. And Edmond, this is not the first time that we are speaking about hate speech. Like you said, this is a crime that is penalized by law. Are you saying that the authorities concerned are not doing their job well?
Yes. Authority concerns are not doing their job well, and I think my worry is that because authorities are not doing their job well on these speeches, for example, what can the authorities do and government authorities can do is that whenever they come across these writings that are written on behalf of the community where the language is being out of the hate speech so much, I wish what the authorities have done that they could have notified those people who wrote this letter that please be careful, you're indicating hate speech, and this hate speech criminal act, because I will share with you the implications or the impact of the hate speech and hostile propaganda going now. Let me give you an example. If you look at the nature of the violence or the occurrence of the violence or incident that we're witnessing in the current violence going on, most of them are really now indicating, or most of them are giving signal of a serious human rights abuse being committed. What is human rights abuse? If you look at the incident between the Ngok Dinka and the Twitch community in Wara, in the Abia administrative area, shops are banned and people are killed randomly without any discrimination. And I think that's really, for me, is terrible. We have witnessed similar incidents recently in Mali, even captors were shot and chopped and people were killed. Women, as you can see, they have been mistreated, sexual abused, and then people are tied down and killed. The same thing, if you look at the incident of Blair, women are raped and they are killed. Things are done, things. Abuse that we have never witnessed before in our communal violence. Our communal violence now is taking a chance of us committing crime against humanity, of which may amount to a genocide. I'd like to say we have now pockets of genocide happening in the country, but because nobody qualified in genocide, because it is in among communities. It's not a state waging it against another particular group, so we cannot qualify as genocide. Communities are waging war against each other, that is becoming genocide. And that is the result of the hate speech. Because the way we revenge based on lies set up by the use of hate speech and hostile propaganda, but either through official writing of these things or through engagement to various social media platforms. That's where the risk of hate speech and hostile propaganda. So without losing the human feelings, the human identity and humanity, we become more aggressive. And we see hate speech each opposite party as aggressors, and we should deal with them forever. That's terrible.
Yeah, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us. So what is your appeal to all the parties that are involved in this?
One, I really first appeal to media authority. I knew media authority before in 2013 have written a circular to media houses not to embrace publication of hate speech. I will ask media authority to repeat that circular, and specifically repeat that circular with focus on communication in the face of communal violence.
Well, that is SEPO's Executive Director, Edmund Nyakani, speaking to me earlier. Well, to explore more on this topic, I'm joined in the studio by John Ngorak Arok, Project Manager, Rooted in Trust Project, and Emmanuel Bidal Thomas, is the Editor, 211 Check. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for making our time to come and speak to us.
Good morning, Irene.
Right. So how much of a problem is hate speech among South Sudanese? I'll start with you. I'll start with you, Emmanuel Bidal.
Yeah, just like we heard from Yakani, hate speech is becoming a serious threat, especially to national security. And just like he said, most of this propaganda starts from social media.
Right.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of individuals, even former journalists, who are currently perpetrating propaganda through their social media platforms. And also we have a number of pages that parade as media or as media pages or mm-hmm. blogs, mm-hmm. and the content that they publish is literally in form of hate speech and also misinformation, and they do this sometimes by bringing content that is outdated. Sometimes they bring pictures of events right. that might have happened in the past, or videos
or in another country,
yeah, or right. in another country, uh-huh. or videos that were captured in the past, or also in another country, and they bring this to relate to the South Sudan context,
mm-hmm.
and also now people move these conversations from online to offline, and then they start having this in their communities,
right?
And then as a result, of course, people do not do their due diligence
mm-hmm.
to check whether truly this is what is happening, and as a result you see mobilization happens and people start going into violence.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much, Bidal, for that. John, I mean, this is a crime that is penalized by law. Do we blame this from naivety? I mean, does that even excuse people to go ahead?
Thank you so much, Irene. First of all, I would like to define what hate speech is. Hate speech is an abusive or threatening speech or writing that is prejudice against an individual or particular group of people based on their race, mm-hmm. their sexual orientation, or where they come from, that is their tribe. Well, it is not that people are naive. Sometimes, like, behind this hate speech, there is some kind of communication or information that they're trying to
pass on. Okay.
And, like, as we can see the level at which our country is in, like, people sometimes try to fight what I may term as Cold War using the hate speech. So that is like incitement of violence, like my colleague has said.
Mm.
Sometimes it is outdated content or it is from other countries. So it's not that they're naive.
Okay.
They know what
they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
Right. Bidal, you have been monitoring social media for quite some time now. So what are some of the cases that you have come across?
Yeah. First, we have these cases where people claim that a certain community is doing some mobilization. Like recently, we have a couple of pictures claiming that those are like youth from some part of the country that are planning to do something to another part of the country. But also, and then we have cases where they claim that a certain thing has happened
mm-hmm.
when in fact it hasn't happened.
Right.
Yeah. So these are the forms of of hate speech that we mostly see during our social media monitoring, and most of this happens on Facebook, especially. Yeah, most of these conversations happen on Facebook, and I don't know. Seems like people are interested in such content because when you see such content being shared by individual, there's a lot of interaction. In no time, you see a lot of shares, a lot of comments, and people reposting the same content. And the information goes viral in no time.
Right.
So this is becoming very serious. And of course, as we do the social media monitoring, we try to spot some of this content. And then we sometimes report, especially to Facebook, we report. But then given the large number of reports that they might receive, so sometimes they take long to act on a specific reported content. So as time passes by the time they respond, already the content has gone viral and as it has had an impact.
And maybe it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late, yeah.
Right. Now, Moore, first bring us to speed, because I need to understand what Rooted in Trust project is all about.
Rooted in Trust is a global program that is countering misinformation, disinformation that is around health, especially COVID-19.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, when the vaccines were rolled out, there was a lot of misinformation around the vaccine and disinformation. So this is like countering, like there's fake information outside there. So Rooted in Trust is trying to show people, like, it is a national level response to misinformation. Uh-huh. That's how I can put it.
Right, but so within this period where it was very hard to tell between facts and fiction, most especially on vaccines, like you said, what have been some of the cases that you have come across?
Yeah, like for our case in South Sudan, there's a lot of misinformation. Like people say the vaccines cause infertility, or people after 2 years, someone dies after taking the vaccine. So these are some of the cases that I came across personally.
Okay. Mm. All right. Speaking about hate speech, I mean, year in, year out, we have been speaking about, we speak about the same topic. It got exacerbated after the 2013 war or conflict, if you like. Why do you think that this keeps on prolonging itself, Peter?
Yeah, you know, for us to counter most of these things, like, there should be continuous media information literacy. Like, people have to be educated. Like, education is really very important because it creates awareness. Mm-hmm. So this has continued to go on because people have not been educated on the dangers of hate speech.
Right.
If people are educated, like, most of the education is done maybe around some of these areas that people can reach to.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard to reach areas, the grassroots community, this education does not reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people who mostly perpetrate these things. Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes, like Arok said earlier, these people, especially on social media, who push hate speech, they have an agenda. Sometimes they are being sponsored, yeah, to do such things.
Mm.
So this is why we continue to experience it. And of course, we cannot completely do away with it.
Right.
Yeah, but what we can do is we can expedite efforts to see that, like, this is somehow reduced.
Right. Yeah. Now, Arok, what about at an individual level? Is there something that we can do to help put a stop to this?
Yes, it is our collective responsibility as a people to put hate speech to, okay, like Bida said, you cannot eradicate it, but you can mitigate. So at an individual level, if you see such kind of content online, be it on Twitter or Facebook, you should try to not share it and maybe educate people around you. Bida and there's a department called Safeticom.
Right.
They're doing quite well in that area. Sometimes they try to report to Facebook when they see such information, so that is taken down.
Right. So you two happen to be among organizations fighting against hate speech. Do you think your organizations are doing enough, Peter?
Yeah, we are trying our best. Like, because we're trying to do both. Like, one, what we're going to do at the moment, we're going to make a list of of like for Facebook to act on a specific content or a specific page, mm-hmm. like there should be sufficient evidence. So what's going to happen is we're going to compile a page of all these, a list of all these propaganda pages
right.
on Facebook, and even some of the personal profiles mm-hmm. that is spread hate speech. And then we get specific content, and we give an explanation on why maybe such content it is hate speech, or why such content is misinformation. And then we write a full report to Facebook, and they will be able to act on that. Because, for instance, like last year, what we did was there were people who scam people online, like maybe create a profile in your name, Irene, and say and write to your friends that you have
banking
a business deal and
some
of that kind.
Right.
So we compile a list of most of those pages, and they have been removed. So what we are going to do now this year is to compile a list of all these propaganda pages, mm-hmm. and then see that they are unpublished. And then we also continue with media information literacy. Like currently, we have had a training in Juba, we have had a training in Bor, and we'll be going to Torit, Wau, and another parts of the country. And then we do this education. And as we do this, we also encourage like the participants who take part in these workshops to also go and have conversations with their communities, like right. engage them on why hate speech is dangerous mm-hmm. and what they can do at individual level. Because what people should do is like we should think of ourselves at our individual capacities and say that I can do something about this. Mm-hmm. Don't say, oh, it's the role of Defy Hate Now fighting hate speech, and they should do whatever they whatever is required for us to counter hate speech.
Right.
That mentality cannot help. Like we should see it at our individual levels that we are able to do something in order to fight hate speech
right,
in the
thank
country.
You.
Just to add, I think he has exhausted everything, but I'm just going to add some little information on that. You know, previously, we were tackling hate speech only online, but with time, we realized majority of South Sudanese are not actually online. So we move the conversation to offline, right. and that's why we have these capacity building trainings in Juba, in Bor. Very soon we are going to Torit, then Wau, Kwajok, and all that.
Right.
Yeah. So we are really trying to, like you said, we are trying our best, but it's not enough.
Ended, and more needs to be done. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us.